Airbnb.
I hosted on Airbnb 9 years ago for the first time, but I'm doing it again this year because I got a trip to France in the summer and a trip to the tropics over Christmas.
All right, Jack, besides those humble brags, both of those trips, what are you going to do with your place, man? What are you doing with it?
For both of those trips, I'm putting my place on Airbnb.
Because now there's an obvious benefit to hosting on Airbnb. It's financial.
I'm putting the money from my Airbnb revenue towards my plane tickets for both of those flights.
All right, so it's incredible. Instead of your place just sitting empty while you're on vacation, you're going to earn a little extra money while you're away. It's a win-win.
Truly. And setting my schedule as a host on Airbnb is so convenient. Airbnb has easy-to-use features that allow me to update my calendar, so I host exactly when I want to host.
Yeah, Eddie's, if you live somewhere you already have an Airbnb, Airbnb it.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Monday. Welcome back, April 11th.
T-Boy.
Hey, yes.
Welcome back.
It's the best one yet. But wait, how is the little celebration going on?
HBD to WG.
There we go. Wilder, how's he doing? He's enjoyed the first birthday?
Wilder Gray celebrated his first birthday on Saturday. Nick, have you heard of a smash cake?
I don't know. Is it like a mini cupcake? Do babies get mini cupcakes? How does that work? Mini cupcakes?
Basically, yeah. Okay. And guess what? They're encouraged to smash the cake with their fists and their forehead. And they just like obliterate that thing.
Honestly, as a parent, do you really have another alternative?
Well, actually, every meal, now that I think of it, is a smash meal. That's just how it ends up being.
Kids, the celebration of life. What a pod, son.
Snackers, TBOY, the best one yet.
First story, Jack, what do we got?
Birkenstock has been living their comfiest lives forever.
Yeah, until the brand just got bullied over in aisle 6.
For our second story, Elon Musk, Jack Dorsey, and Ben the Bitcoin walk into a Texas bar
and build the world's first sustainable crypto mine.
Our third and final story. You think gasoline prices are bad?
They are pretty bad.
A monthly mortgage payment is up 55% in just 1 year.
Yeah, a lot of prices have been going up, but only one price makes you double dip.
Snackers, before we hit that wonderful mix.
Fantastic mix to start a week.
Hoarder's Almanac, week 108.
Yeah, things were running out of because the pandemic. Jack and I have been keeping track for you.
This week, it's cheapskates.
Yeah, it is.
We're running out of cheapskates.
We're running out of cheapskates because there's been a surge in tips.
The number of tips we are tipping has popped.
Yes, it has.
And the amount that we're tipping has also popped.
According to data from Square, before the pandemic, the average tip was 20%. Jack, what's the average tip today?
It's 21%.
There we go.
And it's not just a bigger percentage that we're tipping. We are tipping more frequently, like on more transactions.
Snaggers, you're tipping more because you're tapping more.
The more you pay with those touchless little screens, the more opportunities there are to tip.
With a tap, aka more tip opportunities each time you tap for a tip.
You can't even get a coffee these days without the screen prompting you to pop on a little something more at the end.
Jack, there is a lot of pressure in that macchiato moment. You're like 25%. Do I have to? Okay, I guess I have to.
Oh, what the heck? No, I don't need a receipt. Don't remind me. I just increase the price by 30%.
Everyone behind you in line is judging you anyway.
But your generosity, Snackers, it's commensurate with the amount of service you selected.
Exactly. Because, Jack, the average tip for a sit-down restaurant, it's 20%.
The average tip for a delivery order is 17%.
The average tip for a takeout is 15%.
Now, some restaurants, they tried to terminate the tip.
You can't terminate the tip, but now they brought back the tip. The tip has returned.
It's been the return of the tip.
But have tips reached the top?
Have they?
TBD? To be determined?
Let's hit our two stories. The third story's been included as a tip.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. Yeah, yeah. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA/SIPC.
For our first story, Birkenstock shoes. They have gotten so popular, they got to use a new strategy.
Competitive bullying.
Competitive bullying.
Because the war's in the stores.
Okay, Birkenstock. It's chunky, Jack. It's chunky. It's the Crocs for big kids is what it is. You got yours on? Are you wearing
them? I'm wearing them right now. By the way, I have Crocs too, so I don't know who you're talking about.
It's a fan. Honestly, it is a fantastic potting shoe.
I've told you before, it distributes the weight across the whole foot. It's a phenomenal product.
The orthopedic footbed helps us hit the high notes. I got one right here. This is the one you sent me.
I know.
I've worn it outside so much, I hesitate to wear it inside, but I wear it for the big pots.
Don't limit your use of it, man. Don't limit your use.
That's true. But Snackers, if you buy Birkenstocks, it's because of a 300-year journey that got you to that decision.
1774, a German cobbler named Johann Adam Birkenstock
nailed the pronunciation.
Came up with an idea to make cork-soled shoes to support farmers' feet.
This shoe company is older than America.
Yeah, and it stayed in Germany for like 200 years until the 60s when a California hippie was visiting Bavaria and saw some Birkenstocks in a spa and said, we got to sell these in the States.
Yeah, so they brought them back to California, all of which sounds like the punchline to a weird joke your dad would say.
But Birkenstock has gone from farmer to fancy.
Birkenstock, the shoes, they actually sold themselves to a French luxury group for $5 billion.
Yeah, kind of a sad story. I wish they were still private, but the family wanted to cash out.
Right, like the shoe Moses would wear if he went to farmer's markets. But Snaggers, Birkenstock, they like that money and they really like new money.
With this new money, they're going up market. There's a new $800 collab with a stiletto designer to make blinged out Birkenstocks.
Like, are you doing the Firkenstocks now?
Alex does the Firkenstocks.
Right. It's a luxury lifestyle.
The fur-coated Birkenstock.
But Snackers, here's the problem with all that popularity. In fact, this is the problem with any kind of commercial popularity.
You become vulnerable to a zucking.
Yeah, you get zucked. You just get zucked.
And Birkenstock's iconic style has been zucked.
There are a lot of copycat clogs out there because honestly, the ugly comfort shoe has become the shoe of the pandemic. It surged.
I wouldn't call it ugly.
Well, it was lockdown chic and Croc sales surged too. Although I know you seem to have...
I have two pairs, dude. I have pairs for lockdown and lockout. The times are changing, dude. Where are you?
Jack's going Birkenstocks by day, Crocs by night.
Snaggers, Birkenstock copycats, they've gotten so bad that according to the Wall Street Journal, Birkenstock is aggressively pushing stores to crack down on copycats.
Birkenstocks has drawn a line in the sand. They're demanding that Nordstrom and Zappos stop selling faux Birks. No more fake Birkenstocks.
Birkenstocks is telling those department stores, if you carry the knockoff products, we're going to stop selling you our real products.
This got so intense that a Birkenstock-like executive contacted a local store and said, it is your choice and your choice alone.
But the copycat companies, they claim Birkenstock is going too far, and they're calling this competitive bullying.
They're saying that Birkenstock is competitively bullying them out of the store.
The copycat companies say they haven't violated the law. They have not violated Birkenstock's patents, which is the cork footbeds.
Right. They're like, hey, the cork footbeds, we're leaving that alone.
But we've seen pictures of these, and it's a classic zucking.
These fake Birkenstocks, yeah, they're Folklies for your feet. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Birkenstock?
The war's in the stores.
Snackers, the majority of consumer decisions are actually made at the very last possible moment in the stores.
Birkenstock knows that despite all their work to get you excited about their clogs, your final consumer decision happens in the store.
Yeah, you walked in with an intention, maybe months of an intention. You get to the store, you're in the aisle, you're staring at the shelf, and maybe you're swayed by the price.
So after 300 years of building a brand, Birkenstock can't lose you at that moment to a cheaper knockoff.
Despite all the money that went into marketing and awareness for months, the war is in the stores.
The war's in the stores.
For our second story, this one's a shocker. The biggest solar-powered Bitcoin mine, it's being set up right now in West Texas.
Not a coal mine.
No.
A Bitcoin mine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it involves Tesla, Jack Dorsey, and the sun.
Snackers, let's drive down 95 all the way to the bottom to the Bitcoin conference in Miami.
Yeah, Chicago does logistics. Miami does hype.
Yes, and many at the Bitcoin conference predicted that Bitcoin would hit $1 million.
Yeah, if you're bearish.
And then the mayor of Miami loves Bitcoin so much, he unveiled a rival to the Wall Street bull, a metallic bull crypto version.
If you say Bitcoin three times, the mayor of Miami appears and tries to sell you an oceanfront property.
Instead of blindly optimistic proclamations, though, Snackers, Jack Dorsey announced something concrete.
Yeah, he did. The ex-CEO of Twitter and the current CEO of Block, formerly Square, he's got some ideas. He also has Bitcoin in his Twitter bio.
His current company, Block, announced a big crypto project.
Okay, here it is. A huge Bitcoin mine in West Texas with startup Blockstream that's going to be completely powered by the sun.
To understand why he's doing this, you got to know that Bitcoin is digital, but has a surprisingly big physical footprint.
Yeah, honestly, this hits Jack and me every time. Bitcoin transactions, they're stored and verified on the blockchain.
That's digital.
But that requires real human work, which is called mining.
That's physical.
That's a super complex computer process that keeps the Bitcoin wheel turning.
People set up these really powerful computers. Those people are called miners. And miners get paid in freshly minted Bitcoin for doing the mining.
Okay, so that's digital.
But mining requires a huge amount of electricity to power those computers, which has big global warming consequences.
And that's physical.
And that is why Jack Dorsey's West Texas Bitcoin mine is going to be powered by the sun.
Exactly, the largest star in our solar system.
Like we said, digital currency, but surprisingly physical.
This brings us to an interesting moment. Who's also into crypto?
Elon Musk.
And who's now on the board of Jack Dorsey's old company Twitter?
Elon Musk.
So Snackers, now Twitter board members Jack Dorsey and Elon Musk, they're teaming up to create a Texas Bitcoin mine down in the Lone Star State.
Picture a massive desert with a ton of Tesla solar panels and batteries that power supercomputers to mine Bitcoin. Way out in West Texas.
I think that's the singularity. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at the first ever West Texas sustainably solar-powered Bitcoin mine?
Tech has transformed our definition of engineering and of mining.
Yeah, Snackers, there was a day when engineering meant gears and metal.
And when mining meant soot and coal.
Right, Pop?
Today, though, engineers are the interns getting paid $10,000 a month to sit at a computer and code some onboarding flow.
Yeah, and mining is increasingly about just creating a new crypto.
Engineers built the Brooklyn Bridge, but also built Tinder's swipe right function.
Yeah, miners dig into the earth, but also dig into the blockchain.
Tech has transformed the meaning of engineering and mining.
Tech, it's disrupted our dictionary. For our third and final story to kick off the week, a whole lot of prices have gone up in the last year, but owning a home?
Owning a home is 55% more expensive right now versus a year ago.
Yeah, and across America, home buyers are suffering a double dip.
Okay, cereal prices are up 8% from last year.
Sweater prices up 12%.
Hotels are 29% higher.
Used cars. Remember we were freaking out like 3 weeks ago because like used cars up 41%.
Houses are a whole different world though.
Nationwide, Snackers, the price of owning a home is up 55% in just the last year.
We're calling it homeflation, and there's two reasons why homeflation is happening at such a ridiculous rate.
Okay, first of all, reason number one, home prices. Pretty straightforward.
Driven by pandemic house hype.
The median price of a home sale just hit $357,000 in February because people want new homes.
That's 15% more expensive than 1 year ago. A pretty big increase.
That is a serious increase in just a single year.
But it's not 55%, which brings us to reason two.
Right.
It's not home prices, it's mortgage rates.
Right. So like it's no secret that the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates because they want to fight inflation. They want to stop all these prices from going up on all the breakfast cereal we just mentioned.
Right. Unfortunately, though, those higher interest rates mean higher mortgage rates too.
So if you want to get a home and you got a mortgage, the classic 30-year mortgage was just a 2.67% borrowing rate last year.
That was a record low last year.
That was really low. Jack, where is that 30-year classic mortgage interest rate today?
Over 5%.
That's a lot higher.
So we've gone from 2.67% to 5% in 1 year.
So when interest rates from the Fed affect mortgage rates, the impact is huge.
When you've got a $300,000 loan you're talking about,
yeah,
doubling the interest rate has a huge impact on that loan.
That 4 bedrooms monthly payment, and now feels like a 6-bedroom monthly payment.
All right, so add together the 15% jump in home prices with doubling of mortgage rates, you've got homeflation.
Boom, the monthly payment for the average mortgage in America on the average new home in America is up 55%.
Out of all the pandemic imbalances.
Yeah, like cereal, Lucky Charms, sweaters, used cars.
Housing is the most persistent and impactful pandemic imbalance.
Okay, now Jack and I should point out, it's not everyone who's suffering from this homeflation situation.
If you own a home, this is good that home prices are up.
Pretty good to have that 4-bedroom condo.
But if you don't, homes have become simply unaffordable.
Yeah. Zillow, it's messing with your head and it feels personal. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in the housing market?
Housing is the humpback whale in the household budget.
Yeah, Snackers, we also just got the government report about inflation. Inflation, highest level in 41 years. And this was on the first page of that report about rising prices.
The government said it right to us. Shelter was by far the biggest factor in the increase in prices.
Yeah, the cost of housing, aka shelter, makes up a third of Americans' budgets.
So we have a 55% jump in a category responsible for a third of what we spend.
That's not a jump. That's a humpback whale. Housing is the humpback whale in household budgets.
And potential home buyers are suffering right now from homeflation.
That 4-bedroom condo's monthly payment, it now feels like a 6-bedroom condo's monthly payment. Jack, can you whip up a smash cake? Can you send me a smash cake, please? It sounds fantastic.
I think after you're one, you can't have them anymore.
In the meantime, let me whip up the takeaways for us.
Birkenstock is trying to crack down on copycat copy clogs.
Because for any physical product, the war's in the stores.
For our second story, Jack, Elon, and the Sun are doing Bitcoining in West Texas.
Yeah, tech. Tech has changed the meaning of engineering, and now it's changed the meaning of mining, too.
For our third and final story, higher home prices plus higher mortgage rates equals homeflation.
Housing, it is the humpback whale of household budgets. Now, time for our smash cake of the day. This one sent in by Blake Pozatek from lovely New Canaan, Connecticut.
Monday morning, Blake is messing with our minds.
Yeah, humans, we're made up of atoms. You may have remembered that one from bio.
That's true. And atoms are mostly made up of empty space.
Yeah, ipso facto, humans are mostly made up of empty space.
In fact, if you remove all the empty space from the atoms in our body,
sounds hard.
We would fit into a particle of lead dust.
In fact, the entire human race, if you removed all the dead space in our bodies, could fit into the volume of a sugar cube.
We are space heads.
And Jack, 14 sugar cubes fit into one smash cake.
Are you calling my son a space head?
That's the singularity. Snackers, Jack and I love doing this with you every day. Let's do it tomorrow. I can't wait.
Snackers, I just sat down, stood up, and sat down twice more.
And you were wearing Birkenstocks the entire time.
Nick and I will see you tomorrow.
Can't wait. And before we go, just another happy birthday to the pod son Wilder. Feel like we should throw that out there. Can't get enough.
HBD to WG.
And also, congratulations to snacker Adrian Perez, who became a U.S. citizen on his birthday in Orlando.
And just a third happy birthday shout out to Wilder. If you're listening, you're a great kid.
And Haley C. Houston, congrats on the investment banking internship over in New York City.
Happy 5th year anniversary to Phoebe and Christian in Goodyear, Arizona.
And Sean Tipner, congrats on launching the therapy practice in Rockaway, New Jersey.
Congrats to Heriberto Lopez for the new job in Oceanside.
And Anna Kolakowski, enjoy the 18th birthday down in Louisville.
Happy birthday to Richard Gow in San Jose.
And Michael, happy birthday in Oklahoma City.
Happy birthdays to Katrina and Elena, twins in Chicago.
And to Jimmy and Sarah, congrats on the birthday for your baby son Wilder in Truckee, California.
Gotta say, a kid named Wilder growing up in Truckee is gonna crush it.
And Keith Ritter, happy birthday in Madison, Wisconsin.
Happy 28th to Katie Harper in San Francisco. This is Jack. Nick and I both own stock of Block, and we both own some Bitcoin. We both recorded this podcast wearing Birkenstocks.
Robinhood Snacks, newsletters, and podcasts reflect the opinions of only the authors who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and do not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. They are meant for informational purposes only and are not a recommendation to buy or sell any security, cryptocurrency, or investment strategy in any account. This is not an offer or sale of a security, not a research report, and is not intended to serve on the basis for any investment decision. Any third-party information provided therein does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets, Inc., Robinhood Financial, LLC, or any of their subsidiaries or affiliates. All investments involve risk, including loss of principal and past performance, does not guarantee future results. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
HBD to WG.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.